Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Barry Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Wednesday to each and every one of you, wherever you might be, up and down the Stand in the Gap Radio Network, along with David Kistler and Sam Rohr. I am Gary Dahl, and we are delighted to have you with us no matter where you might be today, across the country, across the nation, or around the world by way of the Internet. We do thank you so very, very much for the pleasure of your company. And a lot of things happening today, but during the second and the third segment of our program today, we'll be having with us Larry Pratt, who is the president and CEO of Gun Owners of America, which is perhaps the strongest and most effective organization devoted to the protection and the advancement of the constitutional and biblical right to self-defense. And that is very, very important in the day and age in which we live. And so we would encourage you to make certain that you stay tuned. And if for some reason you have to leave the radio or the computer, I would encourage you maybe to set your recorder, because what Larry Pratt has to share with us today will be that which will be very, very significant to you and to me and every citizen across the United States of America. But this is quite an interesting day relative to things that are going on in government across the nation. We do want to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that this evening at 8 o'clock Eastern Time now, that's 8 o'clock at Eastern Time, CNBC will be hosting the next GOP presidential debate, and it will be at 8 o'clock Eastern Time with the 10 top leaders, and then, of course, it will be also at 6 o'clock Eastern Time for those who are the underlings, as you might say. And so it'll be interesting to watch it. I'm certain that probably tonight CNBC will have the highest rating it's ever had, because they really normally do not have a very high rating. But the fact of the matter is, we do encourage you to do what you can to watch it. The event, as I said, will be divided into two parts, and that is at 6 o'clock for the Rick Santorums, Bobby Jindals, George Pataki's, the Lindsey Grahams, and so forth, and then at 8 o'clock for the rest of the individuals who are running. And the anchors will be people, Sam, I've never heard of them. Of course, I don't watch CNBC. Maybe you know of them, but, you know, a fellow by the name of Carl Quintanilla, Becky Quick, and John Harwood. They'll be the anchors, those who will moderate the debate. I know nothing about those three people. Do you, Sam?
Well, Gary, not a whole lot, and that's why very few people listen to this, to the MSNBC, and you're correct. Probably the greatest number will be listening tonight. But, you know, Gary, I think it's going to be a critical night because, you know, into this program tonight goes Ben Carson, now for the first time, actually pulling ahead of Trump. And and that's a significant thing. Again, both outsiders, but Carson has passed Trump. Carson has said that he's not going to get in the mud and wallow and do the back and forth jabbing that some of the other candidates have done, even though Trump has really attacked him, saying that that he trumps Presbyterian denominational view. He says that's where he is, is superior to Carson's Seventh-day Adventist. He's poked him on that one. He's also poked Carson on saying that he's too laid back, too quiet, and can't do the kind of a job that needs to be done. So there are a lot of people watching what's going to happen tonight, because this, in fact, has changed nationally and in Iowa, which will be the first caucus state. Carson has gone up significantly there. So there's a lot of attention on this debate in a different way than perhaps on the ones before, Gary.
Yeah, and it's very significant. So, ladies and gentlemen, we would encourage you to watch it. Dave, there's something else that's taking place nationally speaking right now, and that, of course, is what's happening down in Washington, D.C. with the actual voting on a new Speaker of the House of Representatives. And, yesterday, when we had a guest on with us. He encouraged us to go to FirePaulRyan.com and sign up there if you want to speak against Paul Ryan being elected or voted into that particular position. I did myself, and I encourage others to do it. Once again, it's just entitled FirePaulRyan.com, just as it sounds, FirePaulRyan.com. And it's interesting to note, Dave, that it says that Representative Paul Ryan is smart, but that doesn't mean he's qualified or conservative enough to lead the people's house. Just like John Boehner, Ryan scores terribly with conservatives, punishes dissenters, and demands obedience from conservatives. The Heritage Action gives Paul Ryan a score of 55. The Conservative Review gave him a very low score of 58. And his Freedom Index score is a failing grade at 58. So, Dave, this is going to be quite an issue as well.
Yes, and to be honest with you, gentlemen, what answered the whole issue for me relative to Paul Ryan was one of the four things that he wanted for him to even consider running for the speakership, and that was a doing away of this motion to vacate the chair, which was a little-used ploy that Mark Meadows and several others of the Freedom Caucus used to actually oust John Boehner. Well, Paul Ryan wanted that done away with. He wanted unequivocal support of himself. If he were going to become the speaker and the removal of this possibility of ousting another bad speaker. So that spoke volumes to me. And I'm thankful that the Freedom Caucus thus far has said that's a non-starter, that they would never agree to that. So whatever agreement, if any, they've come to with Paul Ryan is yet to be seen. But I will tell you this, gentlemen. Yesterday, I think former Congressman Paul Brown laid it in about as clear a language as it could possibly be stated. And again, this morning, he was texting me early saying that if Ryan gets in, it's going to be a disaster. It's just going to be a lighter version of John Boehner. And gentlemen, I fear that will be the case.
Go ahead, Sam.
If I can jump in one more time here, there's something else happening as well in this election that's going to take place tomorrow, and that is that the Republican leaders, led by John Boehner himself, are moving this horrendous fiscal bill that would not only raise the debt ceiling but extend our borrowing, that would effectively take off the table for the balance of the Obama administration the entire issue of spending. This is a very bad thing. Boehner is breaking his promise of allowing 72 hours by moving this. Ryan has said he's troubled by it. But if he supports it in any way, because it's coming through his committee, if it supports it there, it could present the kind of thing that could be a surprise tomorrow in this vote in the House, which the expectation is that Ryan, in fact, will take it. Now, Dan Webster, I believe, is still in that race. We talked yesterday. I don't think he's going to win, but he could make it a possibility that Ryan may not be able to win. So there's a lot we need to keep our eyes on here, gentlemen.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, if you're concerned about Paul Ryan being elected into the position of Speaker of the House, you can go to FirePaulRyan.com and register there your concern, and I would encourage you to do that. We are going to take about a four-minute break, but when we come back, we will be having with us Larry Pratt, who is the President and CEO of Gun Owners of America. He will have a lot of good stuff for us today, so you'll want to stay tuned. This is Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network.
I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
The liberty of the press consists in the right to publish with impunity truth, with good motives, for justifiable ends. To disallow, it is fatal. Alexander Hamilton, 1804.
Hello, this is Nancy Becker, your recorder of deeds, and I'm privileged to be here at WFYL to talk about why one vote does make a difference. In 1645, one vote gave Oliver Cromwell control of England. In 1649, one vote caused Charles of England to be executed. In 1776, one vote gave America the English language instead of German. In 1800, one vote gave Thomas Jefferson the presidency of the United States. In 1824, one vote gave John Quincy Adams the presidency of the United States of America. In 1845, one vote brought Texas into the Union. In 1868, one vote saved President Andrew Johnson from impeachment. In 1875, one vote changed France from a monarchy to a republic. In 1876, one vote gave Rutherford B. Hayes the presidency of the United States. In 1923, one vote gave Adolf Hitler leadership of the Nazi Party. In 1941, one vote saved the draft just weeks before Pearl Harbor was attacked. In 1948, one vote gave Lyndon Johnson the United States Senate seat. Make your voice heard. Exercise your right to vote on November 3rd. Thank you.
Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for staying with us, and we do encourage you to go to our Stand in the Gap Radio website, which is www.standinthegapradio.com, and you can learn more about this program as well as the other programs that the American Pastors Network produces. But we really encourage you to go there for two reasons. Number one, because you can correspond with us at that particular website, and number two, there is a link there to our anchor station, which is WFYL in the Philadelphia area. And so if you happen to be traveling outside of the radio signal with which you normally listen to the program, and you have a computer, why, you can listen to us through that link there at www.standinthegapradio.com. So we encourage you to go there. Well, as I mentioned today, we are delighted to have with us Larry Pratt, who is the president and CEO of Gun Owners of America. You perhaps have seen him on national television over the years and or in other various venues. And, Sam, he's a good friend of yours, so why don't you just take it from here, please?
Well, Gary, thanks so much, and glad to do that. Yes, Larry Pratt from Gun Owners of America, thanks for being with us today on Standing the Gap Today.
Hey, thank you for having me with you.
And Gary did say that you've been a friend for a long time. That is true. And I can say from experience perspective, as being in the legislature in Pennsylvania for almost 20 years, you and Gun Owners of America were extraordinarily helpful to us in our defense of the Second Amendment issues here in Pennsylvania. So I want to thank you for that. But you've been around the country and one of the best spokesmen. So I want to go right to it right now, Gary, Larry, if I can. And I want to look at the from a theme perspective, the moral and the constitutional right to self-defense. It surprises me in some respects how few people really believe or understand why the right for self-defense is in fact a legitimate right. I just came back from the nation of Ukraine, and over there, they're in debate on this issue right now. They had never really had it. They can't carry. But they will tell you there in that country that back in the days when Stalin came in, certain parts of the country did carry, the western part, and the result of it was Stalin never went there. But the southern and the eastern part, which he now controls again, Russia controls again, they didn't have any of that history, and he took them over. And we have those kind of things going on here in this country now where people are trying to undergird it. In Europe right now, and Larry, this is what I want to bring you in on, Europe, because of the Islamic invasion, many people, particularly that now in the nation of Austria, they've literally bought every gun that's available, what I am reading, led primarily by women who are fearing that the Islamists doing the end of that country are in fact going to threaten their liberty. You were quoted in one of the articles that I've read, talking about that. I'd like you to just, and the title of that was Islamic Invasion Pulls Trigger, Europe Now Scrambles for Guns. I'd like to talk with you now just a little bit and go to first question. In a few words, Larry, if you could, from your perspective, as perhaps one of the leading gun owner defenders in the nation, what is the most compelling argument that you've uncovered or you talk about that argues for the right of citizens to keep and bear arms in the defense of themselves and their families? Let's just start right there. What's the most compelling argument that you can put before our listeners today?
Well, you pointed to something that I was not aware of, that in Western Ukraine, they remained relatively immune from the tyranny of Stalin, at least the worst aspects, because they had guns. And apparently, Stalin's thugs didn't want to go there and have to deal with that. So there's reason number one. Number two, probably close behind it, is something very contemporary. Women are apparently the ones leading the charge, as it were, on gun stores, to the point that guns are just about totally not available because they've been bought up, and they can't order them fast enough for the stores. People are concerned about the very uncivilized behavior of their Muslim neighbors. Women are being raped. Women are being beat up. So are other people. It's a very amazing situation that the political leaders of Europe are clueless, or appear to be clueless, about how violent a religion is Islam. And if it's not checked, it gives a green light to some of its adherents to wreak havoc wherever they live.
So are you saying, and then Dave's going to question for you right after me, so are you saying then that perhaps the most compelling argument is just the empirical evidence that comes before us historically, that where a people are without defenses, that they are subject to dictatorship, to enslavement by those in office? Is that perhaps the most practical argument you're putting forth?
We've seen that in our own history, where the British, who at one time were our government, became so intolerable that Americans, with their guns, threw off the rule of the British and declared independence so that people could have a more normal life and wouldn't have to worry about what that British soldier might do, whether he might invade your house and sleep in your bed with or without your wife. All kinds of terrible things were occurring, and we told the Brits, you're no longer welcome here, and they had to listen to us because we could shoot them.
Larry, this is Dave Kistler. I, as an evangelist, I travel around the United States of America, and I am encouraging people relative to the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. It's an amazing thing. I don't get it a lot, but I'm getting it in a far, I guess, too oftenly disturbing way. I hear from people, you know, is there really a biblical justification for carrying a gun, which really goes to the heart of what we're talking about here. Is there biblical justification for self-defense? If somebody were to come to you and say, give me, not just in principle, but give me some specific passages in the scripture where you believe the principle of self-defense is very clearly communicated, what passages would you go to, Larry?
There are a number, but perhaps the most concise would be Proverbs 25:26, that says, for the righteous to give way to the wicked is the same as a murky spring or a polluted well. Pretty disgusting to think that we would surrender our right to life, which comes from God, and just hand it over to the bad guys to do whatever they want with it. It's not a gift to the bad guys. Our gift of life is given to us for us to nurture families and the kind of things that Christian people are supposed to do with their lives. So clearly there's a right to protect one's life, and when Christ was asked by Peter if in fact Christ had asked Peter if anybody had a sword, and he said, yeah, I got one, and Christ said, good. The idea is that we're not to go about without being able to protect ourselves. And the sword, evidently, that Peter produced was kind of the equivalent of probably a 45 pistol today. It was a personal defense weapon. So that's what he was referring to. He wasn't talking about throwing off the Roman yoke, as we know from several other passages, but he was talking very clearly about personal self-defense. There are other passages that we could turn to discuss turning off tyranny, but that's another subject.
You know, this concept that we have the Second Amendment here in the United States of America, Larry, is very, very important. I'm glad we have it. It's under attack from many, many different avenues and directions. My question to you is, how unusual is it for the United States Constitution to have a Second Amendment compared to other nations throughout the history, and why do we have one here in America?
There's no other country that has a Second Amendment. There are a few other countries that have a kind of tradition of people owning guns, but there's no tradition of using those guns to throw off tyranny, unless you want to go back to the 13th century in Switzerland. The United States has a clear constitutional doctrine of limiting government by various means, one of which is the Second Amendment, which protects the right of the people to keep and bear arms. So we're talking about freedom and the ability to maintain it, and it has its primary objective, limiting what government can do. It also has the collateral benefit of providing us the means of personal self-defense, and there are many Americans that are very happy that happens. There's some 16 times more defensive uses of firearms than there are criminal uses.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Larry Pratt, who is the president and CEO of Gun Owners for America. And he has been gracious to spend time with us today. He will be back with us on our next segment, so you won't want to go away. We're going to take about a three-minute break, but we will be back with more of Stand in the Gap today right after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Fun. I didn't think I'd like kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, but I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm gonna return the kayak.
Can we walk home?
How about a taxi?
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Hired from his job now, a South Carolina sheriff's deputy who tossed a high school student out of her seat across the floor. Sheriff Leon Lott.
That is a violation of our policy. And approximately 20 minutes ago, school resource officer Ben Fields was terminated from the Richland County Sheriff's Department.
He's white, the student's black, and was refusing to leave the classroom. The incident was caught and shared on cell phone cameras. Former House Speaker Dennis Hastert pleads guilty in a hush money case involving his days as a high school wrestling coach.
On the record that hush money was to cover up past misdeeds. What we've been told by law enforcement sources is those past misdeeds were indeed sexual misconduct with young men connected to that wrestling team.
Fox's Mike Tobin in Chicago. Prosecutors recommend no more than 6 months in prison for Hastert. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom, shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYS.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Geer with today's Family Update. Last week, the PFI team and some great volunteers fanned out throughout the Pennsylvania Capitol building here in Harrisburg to hand-deliver thousands of petitions signed by pro-life citizens all across Pennsylvania, calling for a full investigation of Planned Parenthood and an end to taxpayer funding of that abortion giant. Turns out the timing of our delivery was significant. News reports last week show that Planned Parenthood tipped off Governor Tom Wolf to the scandalous videos that exposed their body parts selling scheme, and they even provided the governor with talking points to deflect criticism of Planned Parenthood. This news is all the more reason to keep up the pressure to fully investigate Planned Parenthood and to never again give them a penny of taxpayer money. Find out more at our website at pafamily.org.
The Pennsylvania Family Institute. Protect the family, preserve the future. You can follow Michael Geer online at Twitter and Facebook or stay up to date on our website at pafamily.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And as I mentioned at the top of the program, we want to remind you that tomorrow, probably, as it appears anyway, the House of Representatives will be voting on their next speaker. And there are many, many, many concerns about Paul Ryan being placed into that position. And if you stand against Paul Ryan because you don't think that he's conservative enough, you can go to firepaulryan.com and register your concern there. And I would encourage you to do that. That's firepaulryan.com. And then don't forget also that tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern time will be the next GOP presidential debate. I would encourage you to watch that as well. We have with us on the program today Larry Pratt, who is the president and CEO of Gun Owners of America. And Larry, thanks again for being with us. I have two brief questions for you, and then we'll go to Sam and Dave and complete the cycle here. You know, there are people who say they believe in the right to bear arms, but along with that, they also believe there should be restrictions on what type of guns or even what type of ammo that we should impose other restrictions. My question to you is, what is the danger of imposing any restriction on our rights? And yet, it is difficult for people to say, well, we do need these restrictions. Others say we don't need restrictions. What is the danger of imposing any restrictions, period, on our rights? And then the other thing that I want to ask briefly is what about being a individual who carries a piece on their side? You know, I have a concealed weapon permit. I carry a piece with me many, many, many times, not all of the time. What do you think about that? So, number one, what about these restrictions on the type of guns and ammo that are out there? And secondly, should others consider being a card-carrying concealed weapon individual?
Well, to the first question, the idea that the government would lay down to its boss, we the people, the limits on the kinds of firearms the people would have, strikes me as kind of upside down. It's we the people that should be laying down the limits on government as to what kind of firepower we're going to enable them to have, at least certainly going about in squad cars and walking beats. And if we are not comfortable with them depriving us of a particular kind of firearm, much less then, should we be comfortable having them with those kinds of firearms? They are no different from us. The police are simply acting on a delegation of authority and power that comes from the people. And so I don't think we should look at the police as having a special ability, a special right to have special kinds of firepower. They should not have anything that the people do not have. Now, if we're going to talk about exceptional circumstances, a SWAT team perhaps where there's a life-threatening situation involved, not to go collect an overdue student loan, which a SWAT team was used for one time a few years ago in California and some other really dangerous overextensions of government power. But sure, if a SWAT team is going to operate for the purpose of saving life, I think it's fine that they have special kinds of equipment for that because those are special situations. But they should have access to the same kinds of firepower then that we the people do. And I'm sorry, what was your other question?
Well, the whole concept of being, should people consider, like in Pennsylvania, you know, we have a concealed weapon permit that we can get if we want to carry a concealed weapon. Is that a wise thing for people to do today?
Christ himself was advising the carrying of personal weapons. That's what we learned from that passage mm-hmm. that I was referring to. Yes, the police are not equipped, nor are they intended to be personal bodyguards to provide personal security. They can't. Courts have held that they can't be held liable when they're unable to do something of that sort. So it's up to us to be able to protect ourselves. We, the people, are the first responders. The police, the firemen, I'm glad they do what they do. They are not first responders.
That's interesting, Larry. That's a good point you make there. And I know we've talked about, yes, there is a moral duty responsibility for self-defense. We have talked about at the beginning the historical the knowledge that an armed people is the greatest deterrent towards a dictatorship or totalitarian regime. So there's those arguments there that are in place as well. And countries seem to know that. In countries past where dictators stood up, they've tried to disarm their people. I want to go specifically here to our country now. Our president, Barack Obama, has repeatedly threatened to impose further gun control measures on the American people, saying that we've got to have changes and there's too many and that guns are out there killing people and so forth. Some folks actually believe it's not outside the realm of believability that this president could use some kind of a circumstance to impose some type of severe gun ownership limitation or confiscation. I want to ask you, is this fear legitimate? Is it possible in America that we could lose our right, constitutional right to the Second Amendment?
Well, many years ago, New York City and Cleveland enacted registration laws requiring the registration of certain firearms, then subsequently came in and required them to be handed over, to be confiscated, if you will. So government doesn't have a good track record as far as being trustworthy. I've already mentioned that government really isn't in the business of providing personal protection, nor I don't think should they. So it's up to we, the people, to maintain the ability to protect ourselves. And it's not up to the government to tell us what are the limits on how we can protect ourselves. That's a very concerning point when we hear politicians talking about what is not appropriate for the people. But, of course, they're exempting at the same time those that are protecting them. I remember, because I'm old enough, a time when Jane Byrne, the mayor of Chicago, may her name not be remembered, went before the city council to explain to them that nobody needed a gun and that that's why the gun ban she was proposing should be enacted. Surrounding her, literally in a semicircle facing the semicircular dais on which the council members were sitting, were a half a dozen well-armed Chicago police officers in full uniform and equipment. So, okay for me, but not for thee, is the clear message that comes from many of the gun control folks.
So let me come back. Let me ask you a quick question on again. Let me follow up. Is it believable to expect that this president could do something that would jump over the protections that are in place? Can you imagine such a thing happening? And if so, what would that be?
Well, I think the president would like to. I think he's been restrained by seeing, even in places like Massachusetts and New York, massive civil disobedience to requirements that guns be registered in those states following the enactment of gun control. The same thing happened in Washington State, where they had a ban on private transfers of guns, and people went and stood right in front of cameras and police and exchanged firearms quite illegally because they were defying an unconstitutional law. I think the American people may have just come to a point where they're telling the rulers, forget about it.
Larry, this is Dave, and I don't want to put you in an awkward position at all, but I would love to have an answer to this question. There's a lot of people that I am receiving questions from across the country as I travel that are strong Second Amendment advocates, strong believers in self-defense. They see something sinister in President Barack Obama, and it's not just him. There have been other world leaders that have had sinister motivations by trying to confiscate guns from the citizenry. What could possibly be, in your mind, the motivation for someone like our president or anyone else that would want to disarm the public? I mean, what motivates them to want to do something like that?
Well, there are those who want to ban guns who have the happy notion that if there were no guns in private hands, there'd be a reduction in crime. That doesn't fit with our experience of what happened, so we know that's not going to happen. when somebody like the president, who's a known socialist, a Marxist, without any effort to conceal that any longer, a man who wants to centralize power, talks about gun control. That's what he's after, is making sure the people are controlled.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank Larry Pratt, who is the president and CEO of Gun Owners of America, for being with us today. And quickly, Larry, what is your website?
Gunowners.org, and you can get a free email alert list subscription there.
Gunowners.org. Thank you, Larry, for being with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break, and we will be back with more of Stand in the Gap from the American Pastors Network right after these messages. So we encourage you to please stay tuned.
A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But have you ever stopped to ask how much is enough or how much is too much? Will the money you leave to your family come between them and God? I believe that God increases our wealth not to increase our standard of living, but to increase our standard of giving. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, a Christian wealth advisory firm. We work with believers and especially widows to wisely manage the wealth and efficiently pass it on to the children and grandchildren. We are financial, tax, and estate planners. We help successful Christians make wise decisions with their money so they can better provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
The Apostle Paul proclaimed in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that we must not be sorrowful and without hope like those around us when friends and family who die in Christ go to live with Him in glory. Hello, I'm Sam Rohrer, president of the American Pastors Network. In fact, we should not only not sorrow like others who have no hope, we should look forward with great anticipation to the rapture of the church when Christ Himself will descend in the clouds and all those who know Jesus Christ as Savior will hear the unmistakable sound of the archangel's trumpet. Then in that glorious moment, in a twinkling of an eye, all those who having died in Christ will be raised from the graves, and we who are alive will meet our loved ones in the air with our Lord, and together will live with Him forever and ever. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network saying, now this is real biblical hope and change that you can count on. Do you have that living hope?
Join the Pennsylvania Pastors Network at papastors.net.
There are over 42,000 cyber school students in Pennsylvania.
Miss Philadelphia 2015 was a 2009 graduate of Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School. Athletes, actors, musicians, scholars, and community leaders appreciate the flexible schedule cyber school offers so they can pursue their passions, become independent learners, critical thinkers, and empowered leaders. Learn more today. Visit www.palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785. That's www.palcs.org for Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School.
PA Leadership Charter School. Lead, don't follow. Ooh. Ooh.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. And again, if you happen to be concerned about the idea of having a new Speaker of the House by the name of Paul Ryan elected tomorrow, we encourage you to go to a website that is firepaulryan.com, firepaulryan.com. And at that particular website, you can vote on whether or not, well, basically, you can sign a petition that says that you don't want him there. And, of course, that's up to you to do that if you wish. Again, there are so many people thinking that he's too much of a rhino, that is a Republican in name only, and really will just be another John Boehner. And so, you know, you might want to exercise your right, your privilege, and your opportunity to make an expression on your thoughts concerning Paul Ryan. We want to shift a little bit and go again to the presidential election. And Sam, you can address this because you are one of the ones that that we are talking about here. World Magazine surveys, I think, on a fairly regular basis, 103 top evangelical leaders, of which you are a part, concerning the upcoming presidential election. And it's interesting to note that in one of the surveys that just came out, the question was asked, if the presidential election were today, which declared candidate do you prefer and which is your second choice? And it's interesting to note that Marco Rubio was the number one choice, Ted Cruz the number two choice, Jeb Bush the number three choice. And then, of course, it goes down from that. And, Sam, my question to you, and, of course, you're one of the individuals who have been involved with this, to what degree do you feel that this reflects true evangelicals across the nation as well as true GOP voters across America?
Well, Gary, I tell you the truth, I have found it to be so significantly different than all of the other polls, even sometimes from my own thinking and the way I answer some of this, that I personally question who the 103 are. Now, I'll give you just one commentary on that. These are monthly surveys. It's been done for 4 months in a row. Marco Rubio has been at the top now for three of those months. In this last month, he doubled. He went from 22% under first choice. He went up to 44% from where he was, a significant jump ahead. Ted Cruz is at second place, and they will say that Ted Cruz's, if you look at his numbers, all the way from the beginning, he's been almost flatlined. So they would say about Cruz that he's the most consistent candidate in this ongoing survey, but he can't break out of his base. Trump is so hated in this group that that nearly, I think what the number is here, 70-some percent, 79%, almost 80% of the people on this survey say that if he happens to be the Republican nominee, they will not absolutely under any scenario vote for him. So there is a strong sense, and Carson, as an example, is down the list. He's like number four or five on this list. Yet, as we were talking at the beginning of the program, the surveys across the country, including in Iowa, among the conservatives, many of which are evangelicals in Iowa, are putting him number one. So there's a disconnect in there, which I think is of interest. Now, I don't know, Dave, you may have some comments on it, but I found that there'd be a disconnect. I haven't been able to put my finger directly on why, but it is it's a different thing than what I think I'm sensing and what we are sensing across the country.
Sam, I agree with you 100%. It's a huge disconnect, and what I hope is not going on is that these evangelical leaders, of which you are a part, Sam, you obviously are paying great attention to what's going on, but I hope it's not reflective of the fact that many of these evangelical leaders that are being surveyed are just not paying attention to maybe the process, and they're picking names, you know, with people with whom they have some degree of familiarity. Maybe they know a little bit of their positions, like, for example, Rubio on foreign policy. They know he serves on, you know, committees that would give him a little bit of a leg up when it comes to foreign policy, and maybe that's why they're rating him so high. But I can tell you unequivocally this. When you look to the American public that's paying attention, conservative Christians that are paying attention, the numbers don't look anything like what this particular report or this particular study reflects. You have Ben Carson at the very top. You have Donald Trump near the top. Ted Cruz is at the top of the mid-level candidates, but Marco Rubio is not the leader. It's just different. So I hope this is not what's going on, that the leaders aren't paying attention, because it's vastly different than what picture I'm getting from those that are just, you know, citizens.
You know, the question that I have, we are a long way off from, you know, the very first election. What is the we are about, 97 days, I think it is, away from the Iowa caucuses. And then, of course, it goes on from that particular point. To what degree, Sam, and of course you've been involved with government and politics for many, many years, to what degree should we or should the candidates watch these polls? I mean, they can fluctuate from soup to nuts, from A to Z, from 1 to 10 practically overnight. And also, depending upon how you ask the question, determines what the answer is going to be. So to what degree do these polls really play in the legitimacy as to who is leading and who is, you know, even increasing or decreasing across the nation?
Well, Gary, I think, they're interesting. They're nice to talk about. But are they totally accurate? No, they're not totally accurate. But do they give a trend? They do indicate a trend. When you have a candidate like a Trump that continues to stay way at the top, that says something long term. When you see a Carson over a period of months that continually inches up and overtakes number one, there's something happening there of great significance. That trending information is of value. But I will tell you this, even in the case of this survey of which I'm a part, I have had some problems with the way some of the questions are asked, because they don't give you some of the right responses or the right options, and they tend to channel you into a specific position. Surveys are often done that way. They channel those who take them into almost a pre-planned position, and so that's why they are a value for trending, but they are not the final word on what's taking place. That's why I think as we talk about these things on this program, for those who are listening, these things we kind of talk over are really helpful for all those who are watching to help evaluate these candidates on a broader base of issue rather than just a survey or two that comes down the pike.
And we encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, to truly do what you can to evaluate each one of these candidates from the biblical and the constitutional perspective. Don't forget, tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern Time will be the debate on CNBC. You'll want to watch that, and we will undoubtedly talk about it tomorrow, the Lord willing. We do want to thank you very much for being with us today. And on behalf of David Kistler and Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dahl saying stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up, because we know, no matter what, the best is yet to come. God bless you. Have a good and a godly day.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
A popular government without popular information or the means of acquiring it is but a prologue to a farce or a tragedy, or perhaps both. Knowledge will forever govern ignorance, and a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power which knowledge gives. A quote from James Madison.